When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's the Cop-Eye Podcast.
It's a dark, dark day for football. It's got even fucking darker because Liverpool have just dropped 2 points at Leeds. But then again, if you're a Leeds fan, you probably think, well, you deserved all three. You certainly fucking did in that second half. And once again, Leeds United have proved exactly why they belong in this division. Jay Pearson, Mick Moran and Tim Faber with you today. The three of us don't want to be here. You don't want to be here, but we need a voice. We need to rant. With all three of us been fucking pissed off all day and we want to chat about what's gone on today. So, Tim, I'm going to come to you first, mate, in terms of that football match. Let's just get the fucking football match out of the way first. How are you feeling after that game just finished?
Well, in summation, I mean, yeah. I don't know how to feel about football right now. I can't really break down the game because I can't sit here and lie and say that I was invested because I just don't know where Liverpool are at, to be honest. In terms of the performance, 60 minutes of really, really good football and then we fell off a cliff, essentially, and Leeds just dominated the game from there on out. But yeah, we showed what we can do for 60 minutes. Pretty dominant, look good going forward, but yeah,
shit, wasn't it? It was fucking wank. Mick, I've nearly called you Tim then, because I usually go to you first, don't I? Mick, I mean, like you said, it was a bit of a game of 2 hours, wasn't it? Because Leeds certainly fucking could have snatched that then, because they had a couple of really good chances. And if it wasn't for Alisson, mate, we would be fucking losing that 2-1, 3-1, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I wasn't invested in that game 1%. Like when the difference between when we scored and when they scored, it was the same. It was the same. Like, oh, someone's put the ball in the back of the net. Don't give a shit. But yeah, Alisson done, that was the best he's been for a while in terms of saves and keeping us in it. And you knew that goal was coming, and it did. It was bound to happen, especially after the events of the last 24 hours just compounded it.
Yeah, well, let's just look at that, the events of the last 24 hours. And that's the reason why we've fucking got all the fucking black branding at the minute, because we're just brilliant, just fucking can't be asked, because it's just, I feel so fucking deflated. But Mick, I'm just going to stick with you for a minute, mate. Obviously, the news broke late last night about the Super League, and everybody's had all day to think about it, to tweet about it, to talk about it, so we don't have to relay any of the news. Everybody knows the fucking news, but I want to get your thoughts on it right now. How are you feeling after what's happened over the past 24 hours?
There's been a load of boss tweets, like obviously a load, Redman, Anfield Rap, all the journalists involved in Liverpool have been putting out loads of good stuff today on their opinions, and I agree with them all. Like, it's just blindsided everyone. It's self-serving people who are not from this country, who are running clubs with millions and millions of pounds, and they're taking advantage of a season where they're not getting that money because there's no fans in the stadium, and it kind of feels a bit cheap because they've done it that way. I mean, imagine they did that and there was a full crowd tonight. It'd be absolutely
won't get away with it.
That's the thing, and it's little things like that where you just like I mean, I've seen something on Sky Sports News where apparently there was a quote from one of the board members of one of the six English clubs, I don't know which one. And he said, our primary job is to maximise our revenues and profits. The wider good of the game is a secondary concern. It's just like,
yeah,
what? It's just like proper like business talk. And it's like, well, whoever's put that out there, it's just you obviously don't get footy on what it's all about. It's not the same as other sports. It's a fan-led sport. And like that that old quote that gets bandied around, footy without fans is nothing, but it couldn't be truer at this moment in time.
No, that's true, mate. And Tim, I think one of the things that has been a big talking point today, this fact that fans weren't consulted, there was no consultation period with anybody, there wasn't like, there's been musings about this thing for 30 years. You know, I remember when the Champions League first fucking changed from the old European Cup to the Champions League, and there was fucking a revolt then, and there was Premier League revolt when that started, and then the group stages of the Champions League changed again in the early 2000s, where we had a second group stage, and there was always fucking talks about the Champions League changing and then the breakaway of this fucking Super League. But the fact that this is, it hasn't really come out of the blue, has it really, Tim, in terms of this Super League bullshit? Because it was always a thing that was, oh, it comes and it just fucking gets battered away again. Fuck, it's like, shoot, go away. But this time it's really come out of the blue, hasn't it, in terms of, right, there's the announcement, there's it done, it's signed, sealed, delivered, it's apparently on its way. But there's been no consultation from the fans, has it? And from an obviously Liverpool perspective and an FSG perspective, that is fucking unacceptable.
Yeah, it's been difficult to kind of get to grips with, because it feels like it's, like you said, it's all happened so quickly, and it's not really been a process of deliberation or a 2 weeks prior to, oh, it's, you know, that, you know, the meetings have been held about it and all this kind of stuff. It's just been, there is a Super League now, so it's been completely mental. And to see the reaction of some of the bigger kind of organizations that run football, FIFA, UEFA, you know, even the Premier League over here in the UK, just to see their reaction to it, it's been, you just can't help but have mixed feelings about it. You know, it's Gary Neville going on Sky and shitting all over Liverpool and Man United is ridiculous to me. I think that, you know, Sky and the Premier League are two of the biggest culprits as to why this has happened. I think that, you know, he goes on there and he talks about, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, you're trying to make a money grab and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you're working for a company that's been charging 15 quid a game in the middle of a pandemic and try to go pay-per-view, you know, with the economy the way it is, and with football fans around the country and around the world suffering, and you're still charging 15 quid a game. So, you know, that to me is the hypocrisy of it all. You know, it's all the media coming out outside of what you hear from fans is complete nonsense, because all they care about is the fact that your money will be going somewhere else now. That's their concern. They don't give a fuck about fans. Let's be honest. You know, Sky aren't sitting here worried about, you know, what our thoughts and all this kind of stuff. They're worried about their revenue dropping and their coverage of football being less important and them having less rights to the bigger teams. So it's hard, because you're frustrated in that sense, because at the end of the day, you know, it's, we want to see Liverpool in the Premier League, and, you know, the Premier League was the original version of the Super League, you know, except just the English edition rather than just in the whole of Europe. But for me, it's a bunch of owners that are trying to, you know, turn it into what the NFL is, but for Europe. And it doesn't make sense to me, because part of the attraction to football and part of what makes football so great is the fact that anyone can beat anyone. And especially in the Premier League, you know, in leagues around Europe, you know, you've got two or three teams that are established, and you know they're going to be in the top four every single season. There's no real competition outside of that. There's the odd team every 10 years where you think, oh, that was a decent team. They come third and then they bow out in the group stages and you think, oh, they were shit. So, you know, to see in the Premier League when, you know, you've got stories like Leicester City within the last, you know, 5-6 years happening, to then step aside and act like it's...
Yeah. Tim Tomos, you said, sorry, Tim, mixed feelings, not at all, greed, and that's it. Can you care to explain yourself, Timothy? Because Tomo's not happy with what you said.
Well, yeah, I'm certainly pissed off at the owners. I mean, it's hard to be pissed off at the club in general, because you can't help but feel that this was a top brass decision and didn't really, you heard Jurgen before the game, you know, feel like the players had any sort of say in this decision, never mind us fans. You know, the guys who are playing for the club, representing the club, wear the badge, aren't getting included in these decisions either. So I have mixed feelings, because I want to be pissed off at Liverpool. I don't want to watch their games, but at the same time, I don't want to disrespect the players, because it hasn't been their decision. It's not been a Klopp decision, you know? So my mixed feelings is the fact that a lot of the media that's come out on it is you know, it's hypocritical. I mean, from a fan, I mean, let's face it, fans have not been significant for a long time now. We've not had a big say in football for a long time. You know, big money's taken over the sport, and it has done for years. You know, let's face it, you know, all this financial fair play is bollocks. It doesn't matter. You know, City will make a donation somewhere and all of a sudden their financial fair play is all right. And yeah, football, this has been a story for football. It's just built up to this point now. And yeah, I'm pissed at the club. It's a money grab. It's selfish and all that kind of stuff. But my mixed feelings are because I can't help but feel sorry for the guys who have to go out there tonight and play a game in these conditions. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mick, I think Tim just made a lot of very good points there. But obviously, I just want to focus on what Tom's just said there, Mick. It's not the first time FSG have got it wrong either, so they either didn't learn or didn't care. So we've been very diplomatic on this podcast in terms of our stance with FSG, haven't we? We've sort of seen the bigger picture, and we've always appreciated what the owners have done from 2010, from 3 days from administration, and brought us from a worth of, you know, 150 million to, I think it's close to 3 billion now is what we're worth or whatever it is. And then we've gone on to, it took us a long time to win something from that Carling Cup, and we've ended up had a really nice domination of trophies the last couple of years, which has been fantastic. But obviously there has been the odd fuck-ups along the way, the £77 walkout, the furlough and the staff, the trademark of the name Liverpool. These are things that we've seen glimpses of the greed that these owners have. And whether we as a fan base have just gone, yeah, we'll brush it under the carpet, we'll just say, okay, that's another learning curve, next thing. Can we question the transfer policy a lot? I don't know if we can, given the level of investment that we have had in the squad in certain years when we've actually desperately needed it. That's another fucking podcast all in itself. But the likes when we needed the likes of Alisson and we needed Salah, we needed Fabinho, you know, the money was spent, the likes of Van Dijk and stuff like that, the Thiago Jota that people very conveniently seem to forget last summer. But this is a major, major fuck-up by FSG, and I'm fucking disgusted the way that they've decided that this is the way to go for Liverpool. And fucking, is it Billy Hogan that's come out today and said it albeit it might not be what Liverpool fans agree with or what they think this is the best thing for Liverpool Football Club going forward. I don't know how the fuck they're coming to that fucking conclusion, because it's beyond me. But I swear to God, if Peter Moore was still in charge of this fucking football club from a day-to-day basis, this would not be fucking happening.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. It's just we've been, like you said, Jay, we've been warned a few times where had our hands burned, like you said, that there's the things like the ticket prices and stuff like that, and you kind of go, well, they saved us, and I kind of, you keep coming back to that. Oh, they've done this and they've done that, and they have done good things for us, but I don't think it's clearly,
I know. No.
They're clearly not getting it, that they're making these mistakes, and they can't just keep, oh yeah, sorry, made another mistake, oh shit, I made another mistake. You can't just keep doing that, and this one's just, it's just a step too far, and I don't know how far down the line this is. It seems pretty much fucking done, doesn't it? But Dan's just put in there, I was just going to mention this, Milner just said after the game, like, he doesn't want it to happen, and I mean, that, and I can imagine that's the same for all the players. Like, Klopp got absolutely thrown under the bus today before that game. That interview, he had to go out there and conduct himself, got told the day before, and he's had to try and, he's probably spent loads of time thinking about what I'm going to say. I've got to say the right thing. I can't go too over the top, and I can't just go, yeah. I don't want to talk about it. He had to be completely spot on, and he was. And it's like, it shouldn't be like Neville and Carragher were saying before the game. It's, that was kind of the whole show before the game is about that. It's on the players' minds, it's on everyone's mind. The Leeds fans, Leeds players are wearing shirts, and it's just like, it's just came out of, I mean, it's been probably coming for a while with all the different things coming up with stuff like that. But it's a step too far from what we want Liverpool to be. And I just don't get the thinking. I mean, like, I think one of the owners of the clubs, I can't remember which one it was, but said, like, he doesn't understand why there's relegation in the Premier League. And it's like, well, you need your effort and efforts need to be rewarded. And if the efforts aren't there, you're not rewarded. That's just the way it is, and that's the way it always has been. And without that, the game's just going to be like, what, we're going to be playing Real Madrid and whoever like all the time, and without even having to put that effort in to go and play those teams. Like when we played Real Madrid last the other week, that was the first time we played them in a knockout game since, like, what was it, 2009? It's like, yeah, when those games come along, you go, right, yeah, I'm up for this, because it's been ages, and it's like, well, that's not going to be exciting for us anymore. And it's just, I just don't understand what the thinking is. And obviously it's money, that's be all and end all, that's what it's about. But I can't understand how they've kind of done this without any like thinking about the fans. I mean, if they put it to the fans, it would have got battered back straight away, so I understand why they've just directly done it. But the fact that they've just done this and no consultation with anyone, Klopp getting told the day before it's coming out, just stuff like that, it's against everything that we want to see as football fans, and especially at Liverpool as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to ask you a question, Jay, because the other piece of news today was the fact that the new format for the Champions League came out for the 24-25 season. And obviously one of the new rulings that they've decided to come into play is the fact that a club like Liverpool or Dortmund, who are currently sitting outside the Champions League positions in their respective league, because they've changed the number of teams in the Champions League from 32 to 36, and two of those positions will be given to a league place. I'm not sure in which countries, but two of the other two positions are given to teams based on merit and size of club. So for me, it's UEFA have gone and condemned that and gone and done essentially exactly the same thing, haven't they?
In a roundabout way, mate, you're absolutely spot on. And this was all the point for UEFA to make more money out of the Champions League, because at the end of the day, you know, the old school way of the European Cup was first round, first leg, second leg. That's how it had always been. Then the revamp of the Champions League was, I tell you what, let's make a group stage. So then that way we get guaranteed money, because we're going to see Real Madrid and Barcelona playing at least six games. So you're going to get them playing at least six games of footy in European. And that is fantastic for the global universe in terms of watching football. That's a guaranteed six games of watching the big teams. And it worked. And it worked. People didn't like it at first, but it fucking did work at the end of the day. And then they got fucking twitchy fingers again. And at the beginning of the century, let's make a fucking second group stage. So there was a second group stage, but it didn't fucking work. And that's why it was scrapped after a few years. And then it went back to the old format of a group stage and the knockout stage. And that's all that was needed. It was done. I think a lot of people got pissed off in the 90s when it got expanded from not just the champions going in, the second place team going in as well, and then the third and the fourth place team as well. And I you know, I totally agree with that in a roundabout way. It's called the Champions League for a fucking reason. You're the champions of your country, that's when you go into it. But would we have had the success in 2005 without that ruling? No, we fucking wouldn't. Would we have had the success in getting to the final in 2018? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have enjoyed those European nights. No, we wouldn't. 2019, we wouldn't have. And you know what I mean? It goes on to the year we fucking won it. So I can't agree. I can't disagree with it too much, because I've had some of the best times in my life with that, really. But the point I'm trying to make here, Tim, is the fact that they're changing it again. It's now going to go into a fucking league format where the top eight go into a fucking playoff in the quarterfinals. So you're going to be playing five of the big teams away and five of the big teams at home. So it's like the fucking Super League that's being proposed anyway. And it's more fucking match days, and it's more chance to fucking play, more games, more fucking TV time and all that sort of fucking shit. So it's and then it's convoluted. And the rest of the fucking team, that's a massive gap between what? The 10th place team and the 24th after that. Fucking hell. I mean, Jesus Christ, putting a playoff for those teams, it's fucking shit like playing FC Aldi from a country we've never even fucking heard of. Do you know what I mean? And that's no offence to them. You know, fair play to them if their coefficient ranking isn't high enough and they get a place in the Champions League. Fucking kudos to them. That'd be fucking brilliant. But at the end of the day, the way UEFA have changed this Champions League format, forget about the Super League. In 2024, we'll all be pissed off with the Champions League format. That gets announced today without the Super League bullshit. We'd be pissed off with the Champions League format changing.
Yeah, well, I was the other thing I was just to come to you here, Mick. You know, what's the is this to do with the club being fed up with the way that, you know, leagues have been run? Is this a result of the Premier League fucking up?
I mean,
and the and UEFA fucking up over yeah, the course of time?
It is, mate, because the one thing that I do have a degree of sympathy for these top clubs that are breaking away from UEFA is the money grabbing that fucking UEFA give us. Now, Carl just jogged my memory there, because UEFA only have 50% of fans in each final. It's just as greedy. Don't want a global game of footy, just want our club and its values back. It's our game, so let's get it back. He's spot on there, because every time we've had tickets for the Champions League final, we've never got the full fucking allocation. I remember getting a fucking ticket for Athens, and the lads who I'd been every fucking home game with didn't get one in the ballot, and that is so unfair, because there's a 60,000-seater stadium there, and I think it was only like 15 to 20,000 got tickets, and it's the same every fucking time. It's the prawn sandwich brigade that get all the fucking majority of the tickets, and you have some random fuckers in the middle, neutral, going, oh, yes, go team in white, go team in red, yay. And it really fucking pisses me off, because it should be an even split between the two supporters, and the fucking majority of them should get it. And that's another reason why these fucking big clubs are getting pissed off. Because the majority of these big clubs that get to these finals, which is why they're getting pissed off with them. And I get that. I do. And I fucking support it so much, that UEFA are money-grabbing bastards. But this is the fucking wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would say, is as much as it's a mess, I understand the kind of like draw to pull away from UEFA, because let's face it, it's had its fair share of issues over the years. But you know, it's just about doing it in the right way, and respecting kind of like the history of clubs and the history of the way football has been done as a business, isn't it, Mick?
Exactly. I mean, I got tagged in a tweet just before just before the game finished from a United fan on Twitter, and he said, "Here's an idea: two weekends time, United play Liverpool. The players and management are with us, fans. They should go out on that pitch, then walk off and refuse to play. Two of England's greatest clubs and players making a stand together and making a power move." I mean, yeah. I mean, what a way to stick a fucking royal two fingers up to the lot of them. I mean, I just can't see it happening. I mean, I would absolutely love it if they did, and kind of just absolutely rebelled against everything that's currently going on, because it's just an absolute shit show, to be honest. That's the best way I could put it. It's an absolute shit show. I just don't understand what the thinking is. Like, I went to sleep pretty early last night and woke up and just seen all this, and I was like, this is just like, I've seen signs of it, like people have been saying today, you've seen signs of it coming, but the fact that it actually came to this and it's now a concrete thing that seems to be quite far down the line is just baffling to me.
Tim, what do you think about the Premier League stance on this? Because we know tomorrow that there's going to be a meeting between the rest of the Premier League, so there's going to be 14 clubs on this conference call tomorrow that are going to discuss it. You know, how are they going to react tomorrow in this meeting? Are they going to fucking get together and go, do you know what, fuck them off, ban them from playing next season, fucking ban them now, or deduct points off them now, or whatever? But on the flip side to that, the Premier League might turn around and say, well, listen, we can't survive without these fucking six clubs, because the majority of our money that comes in from around the globe in terms of TV rights is because they want to watch these big six clubs. And that's no disrespect to any fucking team that are playing below that level. That's no disrespect whatsoever. But the Premier League would be a poorer product without those six clubs in. And that's unfortunate for the rest of the league. Of course it is. And, you know, no one wants to see anybody suffer because of fucking actions of stupidity. But that's the truth of it, isn't it? That these six clubs have got the Premier League by the short and curlies.
Everyone has an agenda. And in 92, when the Premier League broke away, and Sky were the people who endorsed it, and they created this Big Six, they created the idea of the Big Six, and now they're having to pay for it. Now they're having to pay for it because they essentially overloaded the power into six clubs in the country, and now they're doing what they want. And that is, they are to blame at the end of the day, because they are the people who helped, you know, tear those clubs and the first division away from the FA and create their own league. And, you know, that this is the result, you know, and this is all a down the hill kind of, this is a snowball effect of what they did back then, and handing the clubs all the TV rights and making sure that they're on TV the most, and, you know, making sure that they're the biggest recipients of television money and all that kind of stuff, means that, you know, this is the result. So they can only look at themselves in the mirror. And unfortunately, those 14 clubs will go in and probably have some valid points, and, you know, will probably want points deductions, or, you know, the top four teams that aren't the six that are joining to be put into Europe instead of them. But, you know, I just don't see the Premier League being able to do anything significant, because if they drop them down to the Championship, let's face it, they're only going to come back up in a year or two. And, you know, it's not going to have a significant difference. There's no way that you can punish them unless you completely remove them from the league. But like you said, then you ruin the entire product that you spent 30 years building. So
true. It's a really good point that, mate, because there's a fantastic book called The Club that you can get on Amazon for like £6, and it documents the story of the Premier League and how it started. And what Tim's just been saying, that it goes into really heavy detail about it, and a lot of it is really eye-opening. No, I'm not plugging that, because I've read the book. I've got a cheap plug for you.
I've got a European plug, so I don't know what European plug.
Oh, well, it is the European Super League. Might as well be a fucking European Super plug.
I don't even know why that's there, to be honest with you.
I don't even know why that's there, mate. What the fuck? You're not even going on holiday, so why the fuck have you got it out? God knows what you and Kate have been fucking trying to charge. Anyway, so Tomo's just had a really good comment there. Said, can I just say, there is no big six. There is too many has-beens in those so-called six. Yeah, it's a really good point, mate. I don't know how Tottenham Hotspur managed to get in there when they haven't won a fucking European Cup. City as well. But the fact is, money talks, Arsenal, mate. Well, not that players. Well, Arsenal as well. Got a big issue in the two, but probably the mainstay in the Champions League, because they qualified for the Champions League for a long time anyway. But this is one of the focus what I want to come on from what Carl said. What if the Premier League and UEFA ban, so that's what's being talked about at the minute, the fact that the Premier League and UEFA might ban the football club from the competition, so i.e. the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A. What happens to season tickets? This is renewal period time, lots to discuss. It's a really, really good point that Carl makes, Mick, because, you know, we go to the game regularly. You know, it is season ticket renewal period now. People are renewing their season tickets. Some people that have already paid their money, and there's that risk now of, well, how much footy am I actually going to fucking watch next year? What am I going to see? Just fucking, what is it, 11 fixtures at Anfield? It's fucking ridiculous. These are things that they've got to fucking think about, and it's like, they knew about this before the season ticket renewal period. And again, it's another fucking sly little thing that they've done to us.
Yeah, there's so many things that, I mean, there's probably no right time to do this, because none of us want to see it happen. But there's so many, like you said, there's so many things like that where you're kind of like, well, what about this? What about that? I honestly don't get the thinking. I mean, I've run out of words to kind of even describe the bastards, to be honest, because I just don't know what. I honestly don't get it. And like Cole's just said there as well, like Sky, BT, Amazon need to come out and make a statement stating that they were not bid to be interested in a new format, but they will. Some true colours shown or have deals already been done. That's what I mean. You just don't know, do you?
No. And the thing is, Sky have come out and been making a fucking big deal about this and the be-all and end-all. They're only protecting their own fucking interests in this shit. Neville and Carragher are coming out and talking, and you know, I agree with everything they both said, don't get me wrong. But Sky have really got an invested interest in this, because as soon as it comes out now, I mean, they made a very, very good point, didn't they, that with this now, it means that the clubs have the individual right to market their own image rights and their own TV deals. And like Gary Neville said, you know, Manchester United have 150 million fans. If every one of them paid a pound every week to watch them, that's revenue that they've never, ever going to get being in the Premier League or being in the Champions League, respectively. That's a really, really good point. And again, you go back to a lot of fans that have a go at FSG week in and week out for not spending money and not investing. And they forget about the main stand, the Anfield Road, the fucking training ground. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Tim, and I'm going to throw this at you, mate. This is FSG's way of thinking, well, this is how we're going to make a lot of money, but all these fucking other clubs are going to make a lot of money. Therefore, the transfer fucking fees for these big players are going to go up. It's a never-ending fucking story, is it? It's fucking, we're going round and round and round.
Well, the whole player situation is going to be incredibly interesting, because UEFA and FIFA are putting together some some kind of rules where if you do play or participate in the Super League, you won't be allowed to play in the World Cup or in the Euros or in the Champions League. And obviously the Premier League is saying in the domestic league too. So it's going to be interesting because we might see, you know, players fleeing from clubs like Liverpool and Man United to be able to continue to play in the setup they already know. So, you know, it's again all dependent on whether UEFA and FIFA are able to actually put those kind of laws down. I've seen that there's already talk about, you know, pulling Man City, Chelsea and Real Madrid from this year's Champions League, which, you know, is going to be a mess in itself, which leaves PSG by themselves as the only semi-finalists remaining. It's going to be interesting just because there's so many unknowns.
There are, mate. There's so many unknowns. But there's a quote, Mick, that's just come out from Jurgen Klopp. And someone has asked Jurgen Klopp if he sees himself managing Liverpool in a European Super League. And his response was, if I'm a problem, I go. If I'm not, I stay. I feel responsible for this club. That is a fucking massive quote. That is unreal. That makes me want to jump on the fucking toilet and shit myself.
when I first heard this news this morning, my first thought was, I can't wait to see what Klopp says. I don't know if that's the right thing to think, but I just knew Klopp would just like not settle our nerves, but kind of side with us because like he's bound to. He's came into this club and he's just took to it like a duck to water. He's embraced everything, and he's won as the most coveted trophy in this country. So. On the Champions League, so it's quotes like that and quotes that he made before the before the game as well, saying like there's no way if that you can divide the club from the fans, and that's what's kind of getting done at the moment, and you're trying to drive a wedge between them, and I just don't think that's firstly them think the people involved in us thinking that that's feasible or even attainable that's what makes me laugh, because if this happens and it goes forward, then it's just gonna, the shit's just gonna hit the fan even more than it already has in a bad way. So, yeah, that type of quote is exactly what we want, and that's what he's gonna keep providing as long as he. I mean, there was a lot saying that is Klopp gonna walk, like loads of tweets circulating going, is Klopp gonna leave and stuff like that, and you're like, well, he's not gonna leave now. He's gonna try and make a bit of a statement in terms of that he's not for this, because he's not the type of manager that would go for anything ever like this.
True. And that's the thing, Tim, isn't it? I think the other breaking news this afternoon is that Jose Mourinho had obviously left Tottenham as well, and there's still, depending on which tweet you look at, depends on whether he walked or whether he was sacked. But again, the timing of it was very interesting, wasn't it? Because there was the rumours that, oh, he refused to take the training session because of what's going on, so Daniel Levy told him to fuck off. But to be fair, the writing was on the wall for Jose Mourinho for a long time under Tottenham. I just thought it was very weird that they've sacked him the week before the cup final. Maybe they're just doing that just for the sake of, we get a new manager in. You know, usually the new manager gives the players a new lease of life, doesn't he? But it's all about timing, isn't it? And I think the biggest worry for us right now is if Jurgen Klopp stays at Liverpool, because if Liverpool lose Jurgen Klopp, whether it's within the next week or within the next month or before the end of the season or just after the season finishes, I swear to God, those owners will be out just as fast, because we will I'll never fucking forgive them for that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, you can't blame Klopp if he does. At the end of the day, this is a disgraceful decision, and to not only, as Mick said, kind of leave him blindsided and not allow him to have a say in what his club, the guys he puts on the field at the end of the day, he's the main guy, because he's the guy who selects the teams, he's the guy who sets them up to win, to not allow him to have his say in what competitions that they enter, and to go behind his back what is clearly to have gone behind his back and not to have, you know, included him or let him have a say in this. I wouldn't, especially considering what he's done, especially considering the way he's built the club up over the last 5 years, to stab him in the back. And then not only that, but to have a statement released the night before the Leeds game and then leave him out there to be able to just answer questions like that and throw him under the bus in that manner, I would not be surprised if he walks at the end of the season, especially if this does go through, because I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him. Yeah. And you know, all the best for him, because one, FSU would be out quickly, and you know, they've got things wrong. I don't think they're a bad ownership group, but they've certainly fucked it here. And I just wouldn't blame him, because this is this to for a manager of his caliber to have changed the club the way he has, to have, you know, get us back to winning ways that we haven't seen in such a long time, to then go behind his back and just completely throw him under the bus. If he walks tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it, Mick? Because there's always been this thing about FSG and the level of investment that they've given Jurgen Klopp, and or not given Jurgen Klopp, depending on which side of the fence that you fall on. We don't achieve this without Jurgen Klopp. I don't think any other manager gets us the Premier League or the Champions League or the World Club Cup or the Super Cup in the manner that we did, and the dominating way we did since he's come in, the way he's built year upon year. And he said, like, I mean, everyone sat in Jurgen Klopp's first press conference says, I think we win a title in 5 years or 4 years, or whatever he said. And I think everyone looked at each other going, Klopp, God bless you, baby.
Yeah.
But you have no idea what you fucking walked into here, babe. Do you know what I mean? We all thought that, but fuck me, he didn't have to fucking keep his word. He brought us the Champions League within that time period and brought us the Premier League the next year. But that doesn't happen without fucking Jurgen Klopp. No one else fucking does that. And those fucking Americans don't fucking appreciate what they've got in front of them. And I think Tomo makes a really good point here. He says, I think if there was no pandemic, FSG would have seen how much the Premier League meant to us as fans, as it would have been bigger than the Champions League parade. But listen, I know they live in America and they see big fucking cheers for when Boston won the World Series, you know, in that fucking maths league or whatever it is, that MLB is fucking boring as fuck. You know, great, you know, I get the thing behind it, but fucking hell, it goes on for fucking hours. But that would have been different, wouldn't it? It would have been, I don't think it would have changed anything, though. I really don't. I don't think any amount of parade will change the amount of change that's shaking in their pockets.
Yeah, I mean, once you read that out, I was kind of like, yeah, that's a good point. But like you said, Jay, it's kind of, if it's feasible, even after they've seen the Champions League parade, they obviously need the Premier League one. Parade would have been that times two, or whatever times you want to be. It would have been that an outbreaking of 30 years of waiting for that. That would have just been, obviously, it would have been tremendous if we had the chance to do it. But yeah, like you said, without Jurgen Klopp, none of this happens. Like, you look at the squad we had when he came into this club, it was just absolutely horrendous. Like, it was just so bad. And he's, like you said, that first interview, he's like, if we haven't won one in 5 years, I'll go and manage in Norway or Denmark or whatever he said. And it was like, well, yeah, he could do it, but it's very unlikely, because we hadn't seen it happen for so long, and he's came in and we got close and then we did it. And it's like, it's kind of been, because the world's been in a fucking mad place for the last, what, 13 months, it's kind of not been appreciated that what we did last year was just out of this world, the way we did it. And obviously we had that big break and then we come back to footy with no fucking fans and we're like, what's this shit? But we've kind of just got to keep stumbling, and we stumbled over the line and we did it. And it's with no fans there, we couldn't really encapsulate that moment in history in the same way. Obviously the way we lifted the trophy was, the way they set it up at Anfield was boss. I loved all that, but that moment wasn't there for us at all to save it. And I mean, I still don't think it would have an effect on what they were thinking. They've probably been thinking about this for a long time. If this came to fruition now, it's obviously been on the cards for a while, hasn't it? Clearly.
Yeah, it has. And it's no coincidence that it's Manchester United American owners, Liverpool American owners, Arsenal American owners. There's no fucking coincidence that they're trying to change it into a fucking franchise and to make it more NFL, more NBA. You know, it's really, really sad that this is what's happening to our game. And you just said there, Mick, about the moments. How many more moments are we going to get like that? We're really not. We're not going to get many moments like that anymore if this carries on. Because this is now mud sticks, shit sticks. If there's a complete fucking U-turn tomorrow, if we wake up and then by 12 o'clock tomorrow is a fucking U-turn, oh, sorry, it was our fault. We're not going to do it. We're really sorry. We're just going to fucking carry on as normal. Oh, so then we're still trying to fucking aim for the top four and trying to get revitalized after the shit show we've just saw tonight. I don't even fucking want to talk about that tonight, because that was a fucking massively missed opportunity tonight and really, really pissed me off. It's great that the football was still consistent. You know, at least that's one positive thing. The fucking football was still consistent of shit results. But I don't really want to fucking talk about that right now. But if they turn around tomorrow and said, oh yeah, 12 o'clock, oh yeah, sorry, it's fine. We're not going to do this European Super League. We just wanted to see what UEFA would do about the Champions League. I'm sorry, but the fucking damage has been done now. And even when fans come back next year, every time we play away from home, it'll be even fucking worse, won't it, Tim? Because you just can't fucking walk away from this now. It's been done now. The damage is done, and I don't see how you come back from this for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much summed it up there. I think that I just don't see it happening either. I don't see them coming out and saying that they've made a mistake. If they're this far down the line, I mean, if they were holding meetings and stuff, and it was very public about the fact that owners of six different English clubs and three Italian clubs and three Spanish clubs and all this kind of stuff were holding meetings regarding the Super League, you'd think, oh, this is just a power play on UEFA, so these guys have more leverage, and you know they're trying to you know step into the way they've edited the format of the Champions League, and they're probably not happy with it and all that kind of stuff. But the fact that they're out here and there's an official league statement now. And you know they've got a brand, and you know they've got a logo, and all this kind of stuff. And it looks like
wank, by the way, it's fucking wank.
It looks shit as well. But you can't help but feel there's an air of seriousness to it, and you know that it's not, you know, this isn't a theory anymore. This is going to happen. So you, like I said, it's just hard to see these guys doing a U-turn and coming out and apologizing to fans and stuff. And you know, that's it. I just can't help but feel sorry for, if there's anyone to feel sorry for, it's the fans at the end of the day. They're the only ones, along with some of the players who would obviously, and coaches who have been blindsided by this. But outside of them, it's the only people I feel sorry for are the fans, because they're the ones losing out of this. And, you know, it's everything that they're passionate about that you've just stripped them of. And that's gonna resonate for a long time after this decision, whether it stops tomorrow or whether we're playing in the Super League for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Mick, I think when Tim mentions the fans there's a lot of other fans that I want to talk about now, and that is the fans in the lower leagues. £400 million get sort of parachuted from the Premier League right down to the lower leagues because of knock-on effects and stuff like that, and rightly so. I think it should be a lot more.
Yeah.
But you take away the big six and then the Premier League loses money. Parachute payments disappear. The Championship loses money. League One loses money. League Two. Do you know what I mean? They start fucking knock-on effect, dear. We're not just affecting the fucking Premier League and the Premier League fans and fans of six clubs who've got to shell out. Or instead of paying an extra 100 quid to go to an away game, they've got to shell out another 500 quid to go to fucking, you know, a warm, humid night on a Wednesday night at the Bernabeu. You know what I mean? They've got to it's fucking ridiculous what's going to happen to football, and this could collapse the game in its entirety.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been saying, like, how long has this been in the works for? But they've clearly not. I mean, I don't know have they done any of the homework in regards to all these queries? Have they got a clue about this type of stuff? Have they got a clue that people, like we touched on before, people are getting the season tickets ready? What's going to happen to them? That's a minute thing, but in the, like you said, the greater good of the game, like all these payments that are getting sent down to keep these leagues afloat, I just don't see the thinking, and it's just honestly just really baffling to me, because. Like Klopp's, I've just seen some Klopp quotes there. Like he's saying, like the owners are reasonable and they're serious, and they are people who care about us. They're his words that Paul Gorse has just tweeted there. But for everything that's happened today, that's the exact opposite to me, because it's clearly never been on the cards for anything that we would want to be a part of. And I just don't see why it's happening now. And like you said, if we want to keep it competitive, I just don't see how this is the way. Like, they don't understand relegation. Well, it's the highs and lows of football. That's why it's so good. You go through these lows. We went through shitloads of them. We went in the Champions League for ages, where we like once in like 8 years, was it, or something like that. But then when you finally get it, that it feels that much more sweeter. But if we're gonna have playing Real Madrid and fucking all other teams every whenever it's gonna happen, I don't even know. Then it doesn't. It's not. You're not rewarded in any way. It's just kind of, well, this is the norm. This is the norm. We're going to be playing these teams, and that's just the way it is. And it's just, I'm hoping it's just going to, like you said, it's going to come to the point where next week maybe they go, oh, fucking hell, we've tested the water, we've fucked up, sorry. But this time it just feels like it's too far gone for me for them to even consider that.
No, it's a really good point, mate. And you just touched on there about the romance of it. The romance disappears. You know, like you said before, Mick, not playing Real Madrid, you know, for almost 10 years, and a knockout phase of it was romantic. It was great to see. And we looked at the Barcelona game, and it was like, oh, we've fucking drawn Barcelona, you know. And then people were talking about the Barcelona game with Gary Mack, which was 20 years ago today, and that hasn't been fucking spoken about today because of obvious reasons. And it's nice to have that sort of stuff. And Tim, I can't be arsed fucking playing them every fucking week. It's going to wear off. Now, if this is a thing because they're looking at the bigger picture globally, because a lot of people want to see it from other countries and want to see all the best European sides play together, well, fuck off. You've not got to deal with it every fucking week. You know what I mean? These are our fucking teams. They're not your teams where you're just a part-time fucking fan about it. And I saw another fucking stupid tweet that they researched 15 to 19-year-olds or 13 to 19-year-olds and said it's them that want this. Honestly, fuck off and put the controller down, because that's not who your fucking demographic is. It really fucking isn't. And I'm not asked about fucking playing Real Madrid or Barcelona or Atletico every fucking week, because I'd rather give me fucking cold, wet, windy nights on a Tuesday night away at Stoke. Give me them. That's what I want. I want to be playing Everton every week. Or, you know, every season, sorry. I want to be playing Fulham. I want to be playing Sheffield United. I want to be playing those teams. Don't take the Merseyside derby away from me, because that's what I'm shitting myself now over. I'm shitting myself the fact that Premier League might fucking kick us out. And that's my biggest worry. I want the Merseyside derby. I want to be playing local teams. Go on, Tip. Go on, Mick. Sorry.
I was just going to say it. And the last derby we lost as well. So that's another thing that we can't afford to have.
Yeah, exactly. I fucking want another one. I want to fucking twist it round. Absolutely, mate. I fucking hate how money talks. I really do. For those of you who don't know who Gordon Gekko is, he once said greed is good, and he got arrested for it and spent 10 years in prison. He was fucking wrong, because greed isn't fucking good. I should have ended the pod on that, but I'm just fucking throwing it out there. Tim, apparently there's an August start date for this thing, and for me that just came out of thin air in terms of like, well, hang on, you're announcing it now and you want to start in August. Usually this shit is announced and then you wait another year. But it looks as though they want to fucking start this shit in August. And I think there's so much to fucking talk about in terms of protocols and getting all that fucking ready, especially in the midst of a fucking pandemic. Again, which is why I always thought, this is a little part of me still thinks it could be bullshit.
Yeah, that, as we were talking about before, you can't help but feel that this is some sort of power play on UEFA based on the recent rulings that have come out. Maybe that they had discussions with the club. You know, the president of UEFA had said that he'd talked to Woodward, you know, just a couple of weeks ago about the changes to the Champions League, and Woodward had said how much he liked them and all that kind of stuff. But you can't help but feel like maybe he disagreed with that, and maybe he was waiting on the backing of other clubs to be able to, you know, the bigger clubs to step in and make a bit of a stance against UEFA. And you know, again, I want to talk about how it's disrespectful to the history of football and all that kind of stuff, but I don't feel bad for the likes of UEFA, because at the end of the day, they're essentially doing exactly the same thing but in a different way. And just because they have history on their side, they're allowed to do it, and you know, we have to respect that and all that kind of stuff. I don't really know what to say. I mean, honestly, as fans, the best thing you could probably do is go and support your local team, you know, your conference championship teams, your League One teams, your League Two teams, and put some money into them. You know, go and watch them for a change, and maybe start following a different club, because at the end of the day, whoever watched Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville debate the ESL, the Super League, whatever you want to call it, for 15 quid, you're only going to watch them debate it in August when it starts for 35 on Sky Sports. So it's a complete mess. It's a shambles. Money has eaten away at the heart of football, and it seems to have completely, you know, taken its soul now. So
It does, this... mate. It does. It's a really good thing to say that it has taken its soul. Mick, in terms of soul now, because Liverpool is in your heart and in your soul. Sorry, Everton, I did steal that tagline then. I want to know, Mick, where do you go from here? You personally, forget the Cop Out podcast, forget being neutral. Liverpool, we don't know if Liverpool are going to be allowed to play in the Premier League. We don't know. We don't know what the Premier League are going to say. We don't know that. So let's just assume that Liverpool are still allowed to play in the Premier League, right? And this European Super League kicks off in August and you're not playing in the Champions League. Where do you go from here, Mick? Do you continue to follow this football club? Or do you think, do you know what? You're not playing the Champions League, our favourite competition. It doesn't matter whether we finish fourth. You know, we could have a normal Liverpool season, you know, back in the day where we're out of the title race by November. And you go, do you know what? Don't give a fuck. You can finish ninth, you can finish tenth. I'm still playing the European Super League. Where'd you go from here, Mick, as a Liverpool fan? What would you do? What's your feelings on it?
I honestly haven't thought that far ahead. I'm hoping that this is all just going to be, let's go to the pub and just let this all blow over, like fucking, what was it, fucking Shaun of the Dead. But yeah. I honestly don't know. I don't know, because I'm hoping, like I'm just being on Klopp quote watch here, but there's another one which kind of can answer it slightly. So he said our owners made the decision. That's just one part of the club. They should calm down a little bit. Talking about Gary Neville, this is about, it's only the first day. So it's only the first day. That says to me that it can kind of be fixed. But yeah. If not, I honestly don't know. If we're just getting thrown into this league with no, not getting, like I keep saying this, but we're not getting rewarded for effort, then I'm still going to, obviously I can't just stop following Liverpool Football Club. I can't, because it's just so ingrained in me. But it's not going to be the same. Like Carragher said it perfectly before the game. Like, fans aren't in love with football at the moment anyway because of VAR. Like, there's no fans in the stadium. We've got VAR checking fucking everything. We're already hating footy. And then they throw this into another spanner in the works. It's like, do you want anyone to be there when fans are allowed back in the stadium, or are you just trying everything to fucking do the opposite? Because I just, honestly, I can't get my head around it. And if there's no competitiveness in a game of footy and it doesn't matter where you finish, then what is the point? That's the only way. You might as well just go full FIFA and just get fucking the lot. Get legend Ronaldinho on the right, get fucking Figo on the left, and just fucking go for it. But like, it's just, to me, it's just, I don't see why they think this is sustainable. If it does go ahead, how is it sustainable? What, we're just going to accept after the whole time that we've been playing this Champions League and in the way it is? Obviously, like you said, Jay, there's been slight tweaks over the years, but in the format that it's in and the way that it is, it works perfectly. We're all acceptant of that. If you're the best four teams in England, you get in the Champions League. If you're not and you're playing shit, you don't. That's just, everyone accepts that. Like, if Everton get into it 1 year, like they did, obviously we got in it as well, but if it happened next year, for example, and we didn't get in it, we just have to grin and bear that and take the flack. But then it makes it all the more sweeter the year after when we get in and they don't. And that's just like, that's part of footy. It's such a big part. Like, you're taking the piss out of people there, and like, just fans having banter and whatever else, the usual shit. But it's the little things like that will just completely diminish, and the game will just slowly dissolve into nothing.
Yeah, it certainly will, mate. Well, what we'll do, boys, we're going to leave it there. And it's a really good finish that by Mick. I don't know what to say about it. Like we said before, like Klopp said earlier, it is the first day. Let's just see what the fuck happens. Tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's another fucking day of drama. Breaking news. Everyone will be on Sky Sports all day. We'll be back with, if there's more breaking news tomorrow, we'll be back to chat about it and stuff like that. But trying everybody to keep your heads up. But I'll tell you what, the one thing that this has done, which I'm going to take a massive positive, is it's united the country in a way that nobody else has ever been able to unite the country before. Not even a fucking politician has been able to do this than what this. And that is so pleasing, the fact that this has brought us all fan bases closer together. You know, not the England national team can't even do that from a football perspective. So again, this is really good. And we do need to take a stand together to try and get this stopped, because it is absolutely fucking disgusting what's gone on. And there are so many, many fucking greedy bastards out there, and every one of them should be fucking lynched for it. Not from a murderous perspective, you know, we're not fucking psychos on this channel, but we love our football club at the end of the day, don't we? We want to, you know, so we'll just see what happens. Thanks everybody for watching. If you stuck with us for these 53 minutes, we really, really appreciate it. You are what make us keep on doing this, because we've got our regular viewers and we've got our new viewers as well. We really, really appreciate it. So stay safe. We'll see you next time. And yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed this bullshit ends. Good night, guys.
Podcast Network.